supposed to get it out of the way. Yes, I did get burned. Yes, I did put sunscreen on. I should have put it on again midway. So I'm a little crispy. I don't know about the others of you that were out at the bike rodeo yesterday. You guys got a little crispy too, but you're in good company. So anyways, we're getting close to the end of our series, Why? And this week we're going to be talking about why we serve, which seemed to be fitting after we just did this big community event and everything. It wasn't actually timed that way. That's just the way it worked out. But this is one of those things that we do as Christ followers that feels like it should be a pretty easy one, right? Serving is so tangible for us. You join a serve team, show up for your week or a couple times a month, then repeat that the following month. Checking off that box. And occasionally there are those bigger events that we do, like the bike rodeo we had yesterday. And again, that's an easy thing to get involved in. You click the link in the newsletter or on the app, pick the spot that you want to serve in, and then you show up, you do the thing, and then you head back home. Other times we do things like service projects, something that's practical for some person or people group. Usually short term for a few hours often, maybe a day, and they feel a need, like building a ramp for a wheelchair user or doing yard work for someone who can't do it anymore. Regardless of what that is, there's a clear objective and a timeline, and nothing is further needed after you complete that project. And again, you get to check that box saying that you completed something and you can feel pretty good about it. But what does it mean to actually serve? And why? Like, what is the actual why that we should do it? So before we get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you go before us in this time. Lord, that you open up our hearts to what you have for us. God, give us the ears to hear the words that you have given me. Lord, may I say anything that is not what you want them to hear, let it fall under fear. In your name, we pray. Amen. So, as we were planning this series and kind of talking about who was going to preach what and when, I said I'd take this topic. Because, to be honest, I thought it'd kind of be a pretty easy one. I knew that we were going to have this bike rodeo. I've grown up serving in the church. As soon as I graduated from children's ministry, I started serving. I did everything from being in the nursery to doing transparency to those young people in the room, which was crazy, to the original presenter. You had this clear plastic thing and you put on a projector and it was a whole mess. Nothing stressful like trying to flip through that file box and get the right seat out anyway. So I've also served on the worship team. No, goal, not doing that like that. I've handed out bulletins at the door. I've made coffee. I've done so many different things in and around the church. I also grew up with seeing my parents, my grandparents, served the church in various ways, again, from nursery to making coffee to leading small groups and prayer ministries. I've even seen them camp and church and preach. And I say all of these things not to brag, but because I've got experience. So I should have a pretty good idea on what to talk about. But God does what God does, and there are things that I had to wrestle with over the last few weeks. Because as we've been walking through the why, and trying to do the things we do, we've had to ask that question with each thing of why are we doing it? What is the motivation? What is the driving force for the action behind these different things that we've talked about? Why we read our Bible, why we pray, why we worship, and singing, and all these things. So, of course, I'm not going to come ahead of you and just tell you things if I haven't asked myself that question, why. So I did. I asked myself, why do I serve? What is my motivation behind getting up every Sunday morning to be here to set up the church? Why do I work a part-time job so that I can do church-related things throughout the week, so I can have the responsibilities and the things that I agree to do here, and then still be able to provide for my family? Why have I chosen to serve the church in some way for most of my life? And I had to dig in and talk to God and read scripture and really be brutally honest with myself and do that work. So I'll give you the Cliff Note version answer first. It's for God. That's my why. It's because of my relationship with Him. It's my loving God with all of my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. But that's the easy answer. So let's get into the longer answer that goes into some of the research and the reading and the wrestling that I've done. So we're going to nerd out for a second, because when I'm creating a project, I love the research. So say I nerd out, I dig into articles and reading and things for probably a while too long. So that's where we're going to start. If you do a word search in your Bible using something like BibleGateway.com or some other online resource, it's on BibleGateway.com, you will find nearly 300 references if you search the word serve. If you search the word servant, it jumps to over 750 references. And the word service has nearly 90. So needless to say, it's in and throughout Scripture a lot. Now, almost all of those passages relate to some various position or responsibility that people serve in, like priesthood or army, or the position in a household. Occasionally, they did refer to nations, serving other nations, like slavery. But the common thread across those 1,100-ish passages is that service is an ongoing action or posture. We are all in service to something or someone. The question is what, or better yet, who. When we serve something or someone, everything that we do, our motivation, our driving factor, is to achieve the purpose or goal of that entity. So if we're serving our God, then we're doing the things to make sure that the goals we've been given are met. If we're serving our family, we're making sure that all of their needs are being taken care of. If we're doing short-term service projects, then we're making sure that that project has been completed. If we're serving ourselves, we're looking for things like recognition, achievement, good moments. So the reason that we do things kind of determines the outcome of whatever it is we're serving. But what about serving God? Do we know what God's purpose and goals are for us? Or for to serve Him? So here's a few things that Jesus says about serving. In Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, but to serve." In Luke 22:27, he says, "But I am among you as one who serves." And then in John 13, you see where Jesus kind of gave the ultimate example of serving, where he washes the feet of the disciples, and he explicitly tells his disciples that they are to serve just as he served. In verse 15 through 17, he says, "For I have given you an example, that you also should do as I have done for you. Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger not greater than the one who sent them. And if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." So we're supposed to serve, because we know we're doing it, and if we do it, we'll be blessed. Not always a blessing of something that's doing a tangible thing. Sometimes that blessing is God is doing things in your life, and you get to see and partner along with what He's done in this incredible way that you get to watch God move. So now you're probably thinking, okay, that's great and all. We know that we're supposed to serve, right? Because Jesus gave that example, so it's expected of us. But that still doesn't answer the why. That doesn't give us the motivation behind it. That purpose of serving, if it's not to feel good or because it's expected. So let's get into some of the reasons why. First, we serve so that the world can see God through the works that we do. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the very grace of God." We all have things that we're good at, things that God has gifted us with, and we're supposed to be using them to serve others. And one of the areas that we are supposed to serve is here in the church, because the reality is, Sunday morning service like this can't happen in a vacuum. We need people to be here early to unload that trailer. We need to set things up and get all the pieces in place. We need people that can play instruments and sing. We need people who can run the sound and the program on a computer. We need people who can work with our kids, from holding babies in the nursery, teaching some of the older ones. And there's a lot of ways that you can serve in a church, but those are some of the most practical ways that you can be involved. Like I said, we do need that. But that's not the only way you should be serving. Other ways you can serve is just out and about in your community. It could be simple as holding the door open for somebody. It could be grabbing the mail to your neighbor while they're on vacation. It could be look like a listening ear to a friend or a neighbor who doesn't have a whole lot of people to talk to. It could be dropping off the meal to somebody who has neighbor surgery. You could offer to do housework for that overwhelmed mom or provide rides to doctor's appointments. And sometimes it's serving with like bigger things, like the bike rodeo we did yesterday, or short-term mission trips and things like that. practical example of somebody who is just constantly living out that life of service and going and doing things. I hope he's going to hate this, but I'm going to use him as an example here for a second. For our entire relationship, he has always used his gifts and his talents and time to help others. If you ask him to help with something, he's usually going to find a way to make it happen. And sometimes, if he hears about something and you don't ask for help, he may find ways to get you help to get something done. I can't tell you how many nights and weekends that he's been gone because there's some need that he's been able to meet. I've seen him teach kids how to take care of their lawnmowers so that their moms don't have to worry about it. I've watched him shift his workday around to help dig wells. I don't know the amount of things that he has fixed for people over the years. Provided transportation. He doesn't like the attention. He will never, ever just say, this is what I do. But he actively lives out that life of service. And there's nothing quite like watching someone who's using their gifts and talents to help others, because that is also one of the reasons that we serve, because it inspires and encourages us. So we serve so that way the body of Christ is built up. Paul says in Ephesians 4 that Christ gave us to equip his people for the work of the ministry, service, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach the unity of faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing in maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Because again, we've all been given gifts and talents by God, not just so we can use them for our own gain, not just so we can use them to help others, but so that way we can encourage each other. Because similar to that last point, we can serve each other in a variety of ways. And as the church, we do pretty well serving one another when it comes to the big things, like when somebody has surgery or a new baby. We like to take care of the widows and the elderly. But if we're honest, we don't always do well serving the less visible needs. People with long-term illnesses, those that are dealing with job losses, people who are struggling, families who are struggling with behavioral issues. And we don't, some of that's on us because we don't always like to acknowledge that we need help, but that's not an excuse to not serve each other. When we see the body of Christ struggling, when we see them hurting, we see them broken, we are supposed to be there helping them and supporting them and working alongside them and giving them what they need. God wants us to serve one another the way that we serve him. And again, most of the time, it's not some big, hero-type moment. It's a small thing. It's dropping a note, maybe, to them. It's bringing a meal unexpectedly. It's doing these little things. It's just so each other that we're there and that we're taking care of and we're praying and we're seeing them. And those are often much more meaningful. And they get to show us just how much God loves us by the ways that we show up for each other. And not only that, the world is watching. They're watching how we love and serve one another. The way that we help grow in our relationships with God and with others is through the ways that we serve one another. We reflect the way that we view God and the ways that we serve one another. The world gets its understanding of who God is from watching us. That A.W. Tozer quote that Rick is constantly quoting, you know, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. Well, it kind of applies here too. The way we serve one another tells the world what we think about God. One of the other reasons we serve is so that God is glorified. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if anyone serves, let it be from the strength God provides so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. And this is the one. This is the primary purpose that we're serving. We serve God, we serve others, to glorify him. We serve because Jesus served, because he gave us an example. And because we serve others and esteem God, that we get the privilege and the joy of seeing God at work through us. But if you notice, right in the middle of that verse, it says, let it be from the strength God provides. And this is the harder one. We're not supposed to be serving out of our own strength. Like I talked about at the beginning, this one is, it feels like it's easy, right? It's easy to see we have checked the box and that we're good and we have done the things that God has asked us to. And this is the piece. This is the one that I really had to wrestle with over the last few weeks and really the last few days as I've been preparing for this. This is where I have to be really, truly, brutally honest with myself and dig in and really try to understand what my motivation is. Have I been trying to serve God out of my own strength? Or have I been doing it out of the strength that God provides? Because I'm doing all of these things for God, or it seems like I would be doing it for God, starting a new church, organizing our events, showing up every week. But am I saying that? Am I doing those things because I want recognition? Have I been doing them because I just want to be able to say that I've checked that box off, that I'm doing the right thing, that God's doing this thing, so I'm going to do it because it's what, you know, it seems like it's the right thing? Or am I doing these things because this is what God has asked me? And I'm doing them out of my love and my relationship for Him. One of the ways that I was looking at this and trying to evaluate is considering burnout. If you've ever had a season of burnout, you know what that exhaustion and that drain feeling is, where you just don't know, you're just blinding. You don't know why you're doing the thing, and you're just getting to the next step, and you're going to do whatever. And I have definitely been there before. I've definitely been in the midst of doing things that I'm good at, doing things that needed to be done, things that were necessary. And most of the world would look at me and say, yeah, you're doing it. And it appears that you're doing it for the right reason. But in those times, my reasoning, my motivation, my heart wasn't in the right place. And so I quit. I stopped serving on church teams before. I pulled back from helping friends. I've not signed up for events and things. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because again, my heart, my reason, my motivation wasn't in the right place. So as I was evaluating the last few days about my why behind serving, and I realized that in this season, no, I don't feel burnt out. Stretched thin, sure, especially the last month. Tired, absolutely. I am very much looking forward to my nap this afternoon. But not burnt out. And the reason why is because somewhere along the way, and I can't tell you exactly when, I stopped trying to serve God out of my own strength. When I finally surrendered to God and answered His call into ministry a number of years ago, a lot of things in my life shifted. My heart posture shifted. Serving God became not something that I get to do, but it's something that I get to do. I get to serve God because of my relationship. I get to do these things because I am loving God with everything, because I have fully surrendered most days to God. Like, and this is still a work in progress. I still daily have to surrender. But it gets easier every day because I'm operating out of this place where God is my strength and I'm not trying to do it out of my own. Because when we operate from a posture of service, we're aligning ourselves with the goals that God has for this year. From the very beginning, God wanted to bless the earth and wanted to be in relationship with us. With Abraham, He created that promise, and He continued that to the Israelites. He eventually sent Jesus to show us exactly what He meant, that when we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have exactly the example that we need. And when we are loving God with every fiber of our being like that, pouring that love back out into others and into our community, into the things we do, is a no-brainer. We just can't help but do that. And then God uses us and the way that we live lives of service to continue to bless the world, to continue to draw them closer to Him. The way that we love others and serve others, in ways that don't make sense to the world, like the bike rider yesterday, I don't know if he knows, we had a little sign that said we were going to provide kosher gluten-free meals. For some people, like, I had questions, hey, why did you do that? It's because it's such a simple way to love our community that may have slightly different dietary needs, but it doesn't always make sense to people. get to do those things, it demonstrates just how much God loves us creation. There's a grace also that we receive when we're walking in what God has for us to be able to do all the things that He's asked us to do. And it is, again, getting to partner along with God and see the things that He does when we're serving each other. There's blessings and there's things that we get that can, that just don't come without doing things on our own strength. Now let's get to a little bit of a practical and a little bit of a challenge for you. Now, we would love to see every person here at Redeemed serving in some capacity in Sunday morning. Because, yes, we do need people. But it's not just because we need people. When you serve on Sunday mornings, it prepares you so that you can go into your neighborhood and your workplaces, your friends, your grocery store. Serving on Sunday mornings gives you practice to learn how to interact with each other, interact with others if that's somewhere you need to work on. It allows you the opportunity to utilize the gifts that you have been given, both to serve on Sunday mornings and to encourage one another and to do things. It helps build confidence in your relationship with God so that when you go, because we're going to talk about that in a second, because when you go out into the world, you're ready. You've done the work. You've had practice. You know what it looks like to serve God, so when you take it into the world, it's just habits. It's just like God. And you have to do that. Everything that we've been talking about these last few weeks, the reading scripture, praying, worship God, all of those things, isn't just about helping you get better at all these things. It's not just about being able to say you're doing better at praying, you're doing better at reading your Bible. It is so that way you can grow your relationship with God. That way when you go out from here and you're interacting with the world and our community and the people that you come in contact with on a regular basis, you can point them to God as well. Our world is full of broken and hurting people. We in this room have been those people. And we all need the hope that comes from Jesus Christ. Serving is far more than just doing good deeds. It's one of the most practical ways we get to share the gospel without ever saying a word. When we live a life of service, we get to share that incredible hope. We get to create opportunities for people to ask the question why. And then we get to have a conversation. And we say, let me tell you about these words. So I have two questions for you this morning. First, why are you serving? What is your motivation? Really take time this week to begin and ask yourself why. If you are actively serving and you're finding yourself noticing signs of burnout, take a moment to evaluate your heart posture. Are you trying to do things out of your own strength? And if you're not serving right now, why? Is it because you don't know where to serve? If that's an issue, like just come find me or Rick or Ashley or any of us, we can help figure that out. Because not serving isn't an option. As followers of Jesus, we are supposed to serve. Now, I'm not saying that you absolutely have to serve here at church. There are real and valid reasons for not being a part of a serve team for a season. But if you aren't serving here, you need to be serving somewhere and somehow. Maybe it's joining a community organization that you're passionate about. Maybe you're starting a community organization that you're passionate about. Maybe you're supposed to be meeting needs in your community, in your neighborhood, in your workplace. There's a lot of ways that you can serve, not just on Sunday mornings, but you have to be doing it. And for those of you that are actively serving in church, I have a similar challenge. Serving here at the church isn't enough. You can't just show up on Sunday morning, do your thing, check the box, and go home. Because you're supposed to be out in the community serving your neighborhood, your coworkers, people you interact with. Because we're not supposed to just stay in this little club and this little bubble, because Jesus called us to go and make disciples. We've been talking for weeks about the different things that we do as disciples and why we do them. And for the most part, they are primarily things that are about us and our relationship with God and how we interact with God, or maybe how we interact with each other as body parts. But this one, serving, it's different. Because this is how we go and make disciples. And so because it's how we go and make disciples, we have to make sure we've got our heart right. Luke 10 tells the story of Jesus sending out 72 people in pairs to go ahead of him into all the towns and every place. He gave them instructions on what to bring with his men, what to say, what to do when they got to their various places, and how to team it, you know, if the scenario was, if they wanted you to be there, then you're supposed to stay in the house and stay put and just continue to bless them. If they didn't want you there, then you were supposed to just walk away and dust the feet, wash the dust off your feet and be. So he gave them all these instructions to go and do. And when they returned, the 72, it says that they returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They performed miracles. They healed people. They cast out demons. They had this incredible experience. But Jesus didn't really care about that. Because he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He said, look, I've given you the authority to trample snakes and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy. For nothing at all will harm you." He's saying that he gave them everything that they needed. "But don't rejoice that the Spirit submits to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In other words, God gave you everything that you need to be able to go, everything that you need to be able to interact with people in your community, to be able to serve them. He has given you everything. And like we talked about already, you are operating out of the strength that God has for us. We can do whatever it has to do back to us. But we have to make sure that our focus is right. We have to make sure that our focus is on Him and on His kingdom. It doesn't matter the good things that we do, not that we're not supposed to do them, because again, He gave us and needs access to do those things. But it's not about the things. It's about what God has for us. It's about being able to be a part of what He's doing, without being able to share what God has done in your life and the things that He's doing through you and with you to further His kingdom. Because all those things that we do, whatever they are, whatever the ways are, all of it is about glorifying God. So sometimes serving isn't fun. Sometimes it does require sacrifice of your time, mostly, but sometimes financially. You're not always going to get recognition from others. You're not always going to get that immediate feedback. Some may even take advantage of your willingness to serve. But when your heart is right, when you've got that peace aligned with God, when you're doing things out of the strength that He has given you, not out of your own strength, then you aren't concerned about what the world thinks and about what the others are doing or not doing. Because it's all about that relationship. Is that relationship where we are loving God with everything that we are to be more like Jesus. And we get to do that, and then that helps spread that hope that we have. Because when we have this relationship with God, serving isn't a circumstantial thing. It's just an outpouring of the love that we have. So that brings me to our second question. What are you taking with you when you go? Are you reading your Bible regularly? Are you digging into Scripture, trying to learn and understand and ask questions? How is your prayer life? Are you spending time talking to God all day, every day? Do you spend time listening to God just as much as you're talking to God? Do you spend time in worship on your own, not just here on Sunday mornings? How do you gather with other believers? How are you giving of your time and your resources? Because how we serve is a culmination of the foundation of all of the things that we've been talking about these last few weeks. The whole thing is coming up. As we go out into our community, people are going to wonder and they're going to ask questions. yesterday, at the bike rodeo, I had conversations with people who asked the question, why were we doing this rodeo thing? And was able to answer them and have some great conversations. Probably one of my favorite conversations that I had was somebody who was wondering why we would just put on a community event and there was no gospel message to help present it. And it was just because we wanted to be able to love our community. And I know there were people there yesterday that felt that love. There was a mom that had two foster boys that she had just gotten. They had never had bikes before she got them. And so she was able to bring them, and they were able to learn how to ride their bikes. It seems like such a small thing, but for her to have the opportunity to be able to just show up and have her kids be loved on, was everything. There was another young mom that also had a similar situation where she wasn't able to teach her daughter how to ride her bike.